great to have you here today. I hope that you're ready to be encouraged because that's what the book of Philippians does. I've entitled this whole book series entitled Discovering a Joy-Filled Life, and I've learned so much already. We're just in chapter 2, verses 12 through 18 today. A couple of weeks ago, I did the first part of chapter 2. Before Easter, we covered verses 6 through 11. And I want to show you a slide that we talked about kind of to launch us into the verses that we're going to talk about today. It's in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "But Christ emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men." And that word empty comes from the Greek word kino, or in seminary they called it kenosis. So in other words, it talked about how Christ emptied himself. He basically laid aside his equality of the form of God, but he didn't lay aside his deity. He lay aside, I believe, some of his powers. He actually did his miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit, which I believe was teaching us how that Christ wants to do the power through us. So anyway, you can go back and listen to that if you'd like. But he emptied himself, not of his deity, but he emptied himself out of the Father's strength to some degree so that he could feel as we feel. He knows how we feel. Now he can be a comfort through us as the Holy Spirit, as we're going to find out today, actually does. So John chapter 5 verse 19 says the Son can do nothing by himself. This was while he was in his earth suit, I call it. He was still God, but he could do nothing apart from the Father. Jesus said that. So anyway, today the title of the message is, Let Jesus Shine. Let Jesus Shine. Chapter 2, verse 12, I want to start out reading it. Paul starts out giving some instruction. And so let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Dear friends, you always followed my instruction when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Now, I have made a statement before. When I see a verse like this, and I have been told as I've started preaching grace, well, see there, preacher? There's plenty of commands. We got to work hard to show Jesus. We got to work hard to live out the Christian life. You know, that's the law mentality mindset. You see, that's not the main text here. That's not the main focus of how we are to do this. And I'm going to show you verse 13 in just a moment. But I'm making the point is we'll camp out right here because we were raised with a work mentality. Therefore, that is our focus. You see, I'm going to focus more of my message on the next verse. But the average preacher, I'm afraid, under the law and grace mentality, but trying to balance law and grace in the church, they would camp out right here. And they'd camp out on a few more verses and tell us how now we are to do this, you see. That's what the Jews did. You know, some of the old laws said, you know, don't work on the Sabbath. Well, the Jews came up with hundreds and hundreds of laws now trying to define what work means. They got so ridiculous as to saying if you walk over a certain distance, you're now working. Or if you pick up something that's too heavy, it's now work. And I thought, man, how could they fall for such a thing as that, to get that legalistic? But then I got to thinking about the church. Don't we do the same thing? We'll say, well, if you're going to remain right with God, or you're going to remain in fellowship with God, they start listing out the things. I've shared this before. Many churches have a list after salvation. If you want to remain right with God, or in some say in fellowship with God, they worded different ways, they'll give you this list of things to do. I've read them right here in this county. Read your Bible. Witness. And I guess you've got scriptures backing up all of them. And by the way, one of them would be to shine your light for Christ. We're going to read about in a minute. But I'm telling you, you see, that's not our focus anymore. We do things out of a want to instead of a have to. That is a huge difference, isn't it? In seminary, they said context, context, context. When you're reading scripture, don't just pick a verse. And that's what I'm doing throughout this book. I'm reading throughout the whole book. But folks, I'm understanding under the grace message and under living out of who we are, I don't focus on the to-dos, even what the Bible says. I focus on the next verse. Look at this. Verse 13, by the way, one of your discussion questions for you that might stay for that part is, what is the key verse in this passage? And you may disagree with it, and that's okay. But here's what I believe the key verse is, verse 13. Look at this. Now, he just got through stating, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Look at this. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Now, friend, that is the key there. So I think we need to talk about what is the power that's working within us. You see, when Jesus left his disciples, you remember how they were all freaked out? They were, how are we going to survive? How are we going to do what we do? How are we going to know what to do? Then how are we going to have the power to do what we figure out you want us to do? How many of y'all ever deal with that in your life? What is God's direction? All right, now I got his direction. How do I get there? And we start trying to orchestrate sometimes in our minds how God is going to do this. By the way, that's a mistake. You know, every time I've tried to orchestrate, I knew God was leading me to start this church, for example, or go back into business. So I conjured up in my mind, well, he's going to take care of me financially through the ministry. Okay? That didn't happen. So I was disappointed. That's what I'm saying. Don't try to figure out how God's going to get you there once he tells you where you're going. It's a daily trust, isn't it? One step at a time. But I want to focus on this verse because to me it's the key to this whole thing here. For God, look at the first part of the verse. It says, for God is working in you. When Jesus left his disciples, they said, what are we going to do? Well, I want to answer that question or let the Holy Spirit answer it because he's the one that wrote the Bible through these different writers. And in this case, through John chapter 14, verse 26. Look at this. But when the Father sends the Advocate, talking about the Holy Spirit, as my representative, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I told you. Wow. Who is the Holy Spirit to us? What does the Holy Spirit do? Right here we see some things that he does. He's going to remind you. But I just kind of started thinking about, well, what are some attributes of the Holy Spirit, or what are some things that he does for us? And it is numerous because he's infinite. The list is infinite. But I want to just pick on about four major things I think that he does for us. Number one, the Holy Spirit is our power. Do you believe that? He is our power. Look at John chapter 3, verse 34. For he is sent by God. He speaks God's word, for God gives him the Spirit without limit. In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, when he came on the day of Pentecost, he is without limit. Folks, what is your impossible task that you're dealing with today that might be staring you in the face? What is it? If you realize that you had an unlimited power at your disposal and that's in you, that's willing to work through you if you will get out of the way, do you realize that there's nothing impossible for God? I run into business issues all the time. Had some slap me in the face Friday and Thursday, and they're still there. I've got to deal with them tomorrow. But I get to thinking, oh my goodness, how could that subcontractor do that or whatever it might be? And I said, wait a minute. Holy Spirit, he's interested in your business, by the way. Did you know that? He gave you the business you're in. He gave you the job you're in. He gave you the ministry you're in. How much more does he want to take care of you and empower you in the midst of whatever it is? Do we just stop to slow down to ask him? Holy Spirit, how do I deal with this thing? How do we walk through this without anxiety, without fear, without moaning and without groaning? We're going to talk about that because he talks about it in here. You do it by resting in him, saying, okay, Monday I'm going to put it out of my mind. I'm going to rest today, but I will deal with this tomorrow. And the Holy Spirit's going to be our instruction because I'm asking him to do that, you see. But anyway, what's another thing? Our truth. He's not only our power, the Holy Spirit is our truth. Look at John chapter 16. Verses 12 through 13. Just before Jesus ascended, the questions were on their mind. How are we going to survive? You've been with us this whole time. Well, here's what he said. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. When the Spirit of truth, he is our truth, he will guide you into all truth, He will not speak of his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. You see, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one. We believe that, right? In the Trinity. You see, he's speaking basically the will of the Father, the will of Christ, and so forth. And by the way, one of the truths that he's teaching us, I want you to see this in Hebrews chapter 10. I know I talk a lot about verse 17, but I really want you to see this whole little passage here, about four verses, Hebrews 10, verses 15 through 17. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. Well, what is so? Well, keep reading. For he's witnessing, by the way. Some of you thought the Holy Spirit's job was just to point out your faults. Say, yeah, he'll point you out and he'll chastise you. That's not true. He's teaching you who you are in Christ. He's teaching you what's right with you, not about what's wrong with you. Look at this, though. This is cool. He's teaching, witnessing, testifying. This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them in their minds. Folks, you are in Christ. You have access to the wisdom of God. We'll talk about you already have his wisdom. By the way, we need to quit praying for things that we already have, and we'll talk about how to flesh that out and how should we be praying in a moment. But we have everything that we need in Christ. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to pull it out. He wants to pull out the truths that's already there. We think, well, I've got to study hard. If I don't put it in, hey, I've heard this. If you don't put it in by reading the Bible, it will not come out. I don't believe that anymore. The Bible is clearly a tool, but we have the Holy Spirit of God. Can he not put it in there without me reading it? I'm not making light of the Bible. Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying the Holy Spirit has said, I will write the laws on your hearts and in your minds. The Holy Spirit will impart to you that what you need in the time you need it. Wow. Holy Spirit's going to pull it out. One thing he's going to pull out when you blow it, this is something you need to let him pull out, because you're going to get discouraged if you don't. Look at verse 17 and 18. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. Wow. What if you remembered that when you blow it tomorrow? Some of y'all ain't going to wait till tomorrow. You're going to get a head start. I'll be one of them too, I'm sure. Y'all supposed to say, no, not you, preacher. Look at verse 18. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need for any other more sacrifice. Hey, when you blow it tomorrow, this afternoon, whenever, you know what the Holy Spirit's doing? He's not pounding you on the head saying, see there, look, I knew you were going to do that. Some of you were raised under that kind of teaching. I'm telling you, that is not what the Holy Spirit's doing. He is coming in encouraging you, saying, hey, it says right up here, right in verse 12, the Holy Spirit's testifying, he's witnessing, he's speaking to you. It's all right. Yes, you blew it. But that sin's already been forgotten by the Father. Woo! Wow. Y'all calm down. This is exciting news. I used to beat myself up, and he just got through saying, there is no longer a sacrifice that needs to be made. There's no longer for us to walk around and beat ourselves up. People, though, the devil is saying, well, if you tell people that, they're just going to go sin now and don't care. Folks, that is a lie. I care when I blow it. But what am I going to do about it? I've already done it. It's done. I remember Romans 8:1 now. There is therefore now no condemnation in me, because Jesus has already paid for that sin. He saw it first. He's already paid for it. He's already died for it. He's already buried it in the tomb, and we are no and going to remember it no more. That's good news. You need to be encouraged and get up. Now, if you hurt somebody, go to them and take care of it. Ask them to forgive you. You ain't got to be running to God to ask you to forgive you, because he's already forgiven you. Colossians 2:13 and 14. Look it up. Who else is the Holy Spirit to us? He's our power. He's our truth. To me, he's our comforter. Don't you think? John chapter 14, just one of the verses. There are others that talk about him being our comforter. He said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is the gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Wow. You know, the world will tell you to go to yoga, to go to meditation, just go fishing. And I'm good with all those things, by the way. But folks, the true peace, you see, that's a temporary peace. The true peace comes from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's actually being empowered through the Holy Spirit in your life. Once again, I gave you an illustration. Something slaps you in the face, something negative, something whatever, that's causing you fear and anxiety. Listen, where the Bible says where the Holy Spirit is, there's liberty there. It's the question, there's peace there. We learned, Keith talked a little bit about that a couple of weeks ago. There's joy there, we've talked about in this series. Folks, are we going to latch on to it? Are we going to continue worrying and struggling and striving? That's the bottom line. You catch yourself worrying, you catch yourself striving, you catch yourself agonizing and writing down, what am I going to do, Lord? And you just are going on and on and on. Listen, take those thoughts captive in the name of Jesus Christ. Get your focus back on Christ. Get your focus back on these kind of verses. Hey, have you a cheat sheet, if you will, or a pull out verses and say, wow, I need some encouragement. I need to be reminded of what that preacher's saying or what the Holy Spirit's doing. And pull these things out. And I'm telling you, there'll be a peace that'll sweep back over you if you allow it to. Now, if you choose to not to and you want to just continue your worrying, then that's what the Holy Spirit's going to let you do. You're going to cloud yourself from hearing Him and listening to Him. So, He's our power, He's our truth, He's our comforter, He's our wisdom. He's our wisdom. 1 Corinthians, look at this. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. You see, all of these things, you see, are being empowered by the Holy Spirit that's been given to us through the Father, by the Father, through Jesus Christ. You see, they're all one. I could say they're from either one of them, couldn't I? Right? They all have their part to play, but the bottom line is, this is who you are. You have Christ's wisdom. How many of you have ever prayed, Lord, give me wisdom right now? How many of y'all? Come on.
I used to.
I catch myself doing it now, and I'm thinking, whoop, whoop, whoop. I go back to this verse from 1 Corinthians. I quote this a lot in my mind. I said, God says I already have His wisdom. I already have His righteousness. I already have His sanctification. See, they're teaching out there in the world that sanctification is being made holy over time by you striving. Your behavior is now becoming in line, and that's a part of sanctification. That's not true. Sanctification, being made holy, is done. It's a gift. I'm not saying your behavior is always like it. But see, your behavior has nothing to do with sanctification. Sanctification has to do with your person, your identity. Now, transformation is what I want to occur. I want my behavior now to come out and be who I am. But quit praying for wisdom. So how would you pray? You really don't have God's direction of how to handle that negative situation. You don't have God's direction. You're feeling Him calling you in another direction of a job. So what do you do? Hey, talk to me a second. What do you do in that case? Do you pray for wisdom? So how do you pray if you don't ask God for wisdom? You thank Him in advance. There we go. Say, Lord, clearly I've got Your wisdom. Lord, I have Your understanding. I have the mind of Christ. That's a Bible verse. Look it up. I don't know it by heart, but it's in there. I have everything I need. We'll talk about that verse in a moment too. I've got Your Holy Spirit power. Now, Lord, I want to be aware and I want to hear through the cloudiness of my worry and the cloudiness of what's going on up here in his head of mine. I want to hear, Lord, from the heart that just comes out in my thinking and in my mind. I have had people say, well, you can't trust your heart. Who can know it? You know, pull up that Old Testament verse that says the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? Hey, the Bible says you've been given a new heart. That's old covenant. You've been given a new mind. You can trust your mind. God will work through your thinking when it's submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been praying about things and saying, Lord, what should I do? And I really was seeking Him. I wasn't trying to slant. Some of y'all will do a fleece prayer, right? You know what the fleece prayer is? Remember in the Old Testament about the, I won't spell it out, but anyway, we'll throw a, say, all right, Lord, I'm going to throw this ball up in the air. If it comes down, I'm to buy that new car. You'll try to orchestrate your own fleece praying. Some of you don't know what fleece praying is. We'll get into that another day. But it's basically circumstances. Lord, if that door opens or if that rug moves, if that thing, rug is wet, I believe is the actual thing in the Old Testament. If it's wet tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock when it should be dry, then I know to do that. Hey, I'm not saying there's not every time to pray that. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. There have been times when I said, God, if I need to walk through that door, I just felt like this was how I was to pray. So I'm not saying you shouldn't ever pray like that. Just be careful about that. Don't use that as a catch-all prayer. I think it can lead you into trouble. Okay? But anyway, I said, Lord, if it's your will for this to happen, Lord, I just believe that door is going to open. And it sure enough it did. And I've had God to close them. I pray for closed doors. That way I can't walk through it. You praying about a job? Well, if the door closes, some of you get mad and say, God, you hear about why somebody else got it, and you get mad because they got it. And the whole time you ask God to close the door, and you want to go kick it open. Anybody ever got a witness? Anybody ever? I'm just telling you, folks, when God shuts a door, trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him to open the right door. Be patient. I believe the Bible says those that wait on the Lord shall be renewed with strength, will mount up with wings like eagles and soar. Hey, I don't want to be like the old chicken on the ground running around trying to scratch my way to where God wants me to be. I want to soar like an eagle and let Him open the doors. What about you?
Why not?
Why not? If I had to pick one verse about the Holy Spirit, probably this might be the verse. I quote this a lot. It's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Look at this. We quote this all the time. This would really be a good verse for you to write down, to memorize, plaster it on your mirror, because it says so much. Look at it. By His power, divine power. Who's the divine power of God? It's the Holy Spirit. I'll help you. God, watch this, is giving this to you a little bit along whenever He feels like it. Is that what that says? Look at what it says. By His divine power, God, say it with me, has given. Past tense, done. Some of you are praying for power to get through life, just like you were praying for wisdom. Quit trying to enter a room you're already in. Thank God for the power that's already there. Get your focus back on Jesus and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not your own, by the way, and all these things will be added unto Him. Get your focus back off of the circumstances. Get it back up on your Savior and His righteousness, not your own. And basically it's tied here. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. I know somebody helped me with the New King James. God has given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, I believe. I quote that a lot. So whichever version you choose, they pretty much going to mean the same thing. It's past tense. By the way, you notice I've underlined, or Deanna has for me, not only has given everything. That's wisdom. That's direction. That's comfort. That's power when I feel weak. You see? We have everything in Christ. I'm so thankful. I was so tired of striving to get all of what Jesus has. That'll wear you out. When you feel lack in a situation, you need to quote this. Whatever that lack is, finances, health, relationships, whatever you're worried about, you need to say, thank you, Lord, that that's already mine. It's already done. You see, that goes back to being in Christ. Now, Philippians 2:13, I want you to see that verse again. For God is working in you. Just hit me. Whatever that negative thing is that's got you discouraged. What about just saying, God, thank you for working in me in this situation right now. Your Holy Spirit's working behind the scenes, giving me the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. What pleases God when a adversity slaps you in the face? You get, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? Is that very pleasing to God? It's not good for you. By the way, don't make God mad. He's not disappointed in you. He hates what sin does to us. He hates when we don't walk in the power that's right there that we for the taking. He's saying, oh, I want them to get this. I want them to know that I love them. I want them to know that, well, they don't have to worry about this. I've got this thing. I've got a plan they don't even know about yet. When God closed the door on some businesses I applied to before He led me to open the store back up, I was disappointed. I didn't want to go back in the pool business. It's stressful. It's tough running a business. I'm not one of them that can start a business and just let it, just kind of keep it monotone. That's just not my nature, okay? I love to see things grow, and I'm telling you, this thing is taking off and about to drag Adam and Michael and who else is here that's in here with us now. He's giving us so much. But here I could be working for somebody else for a third of what I could be making with the business or less. But yet, look what He's done. And I had nothing to do with it. I just said, all right, Lord, I'm trusting you. He had given me a guy that was wanting me to build him a pool. And I said, wow, this is a big decision to start this business back up. And I put it off for a while. I kept praying, went and applied to Home Depot for a department manager's job or assistant manager for something. And I know I could do it. I've got a lot of wisdom in that understanding and of the what they sell. But anyway, closed door. And then this guy, Bruce Gore, calls me back again. He says, I don't want to trade with nobody else. I really think you need to be the one to build this. And he's the one that said, well, maybe God wants you to grow the business again where you can support ministries. I said, be quiet, Bruce. So anyway, it's like God just kept being patient with me. And finally, I said, okay, Lord, I get it. I'm a little hard-headed, but okay, I'm a lot hard-headed. Okay, I'll save y'all from saying that. And we started out. But what is your lack? What is your lack? Pull this verse out and say, wow, God's given me the power right now. Not only is God working through me, by the Holy Spirit, He's given me the desire and the power to please God. Some of you thought it was your job to please God because you would read a verse like verse 12 without understanding verse 13, you see. You see, it's my responsibility to rest in Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit's job, you see, to work and live the Christian life through me. Even back in my former days before the grace revelation, I would say, I can't live this Christian life. God already told me to say that, and I made some Christians mad in the church I was pastoring. They said, what? We're supposed to strive, preacher, to do our best for Jesus and be a good Christian. I said, you go ahead if you want to. But I said, God has shown me another way. But see, He was working in, you see, this power of the Holy Spirit. He was working in the grace message and so forth, and I just didn't even know it. Let's move on. Look at verse 13. I'm sorry, 14. Do everything without complaining and arguing. You see, we'd jump on verse 12 and then we'd skip verse 13 and we'd jump to 14 because there's the to-dos, right? You see, we do verse 12 and 14 because we understand it's not us doing it because of verse 13. Y'all want me to repeat that? Y'all get it? Okay. Do everything without complaining and arguing. If you're complaining and arguing, folks, you're not positioning yourself to be listening to the Holy Spirit. You believe you can cloud hearing the Holy Spirit? Trust me, you can. When you're arguing and complaining about the situation you're in, friends, it'll cloud your view of listening to the Holy Spirit, who's trying to comfort you, who's trying to give you the power that you already have, who's trying to give you the wisdom that you already have. He's just trying to raise it up in your mind and your thinking, but you're thinking and going in a different direction, you see. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Basically, he's saying, let your light shine. But folks, it's not your light, it's Jesus' light, is what we're trying to say here. You can't do all this, but you can when you yield to the Holy Spirit, you see. This is a picture of Christ right here. He's saying, if you're complaining and arguing, that's a picture that's not Christ. You follow me? So God gives us a picture of what we should look like, and he also gives us a picture of what we should not look like. We should be that light that's shining bright so the world can clearly see who Christ is in our life. If we're worrying and we're complaining and we're sharing on Facebook and emailing everybody and our brother about how bad we've got it, we never once say, yes, it's tough, but I know my God's got this thing. You see, you can be real. You can share what's going on in your life, but just also share that who's in control? Who is your helper? Who is your life, you see? That's what you call walking in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh. Walking in the flesh says, well, I've got it bad, and I can't believe this, and we down people, and we complain, and so forth. And then it says here, we basically give others opportunity to criticize us. Did you catch that in verse 15? Basically, what I think that's saying is that you can damage the cause of Christ, if you will. They say, wow, he claims to be one of them grace followers, and look at how he's living. Look how he's acting. Look how negative they are. You see what I'm saying? So, anyway. Oh, but when we rest in Jesus, we quit trying to work the work of the Holy Spirit. Quit trying to work or do the work of the Holy Spirit. This is huge. Rest in him. How do you know when God's leading you to do something? How do you know when the Holy Spirit's leading you to do something? Talk to me. I'll get done quicker if you'll help me. Okay, so God can orchestrate circumstances. Okay, Adam. Okay. And what about that still small voice inside? It's just, you just feel it and it feels right. Exactly. Once again, I was taught you can't go on your feelings. And that, there is a lot of truth to that. But folks, when it's surrendered to the Holy Spirit, you can go on your feelings. You can go on the idea that God's planting in your mind. How do you think he gets that idea to you? I believe he brings it through your thinking, doesn't he? When it's surrendered to Christ. Now, you got to be careful. I understand that. We can think wrongly. Sure we can. But there's just something inside. I've known it every time. I left the business the first time. Later, 5 months later, God called me into ministry. He just pulled my desire for the business. I had no desire. The vision for the business was gone. I just kind of like, wow, what's happening here? So I said, okay, Lord, what's up? Then when I called me to preach, he just kind of started nudging me in that direction. And then when I left the church that I was pastoring to come here, once again, the vision was just gone. Part of it was I could see that the people were not getting the grace teaching. And so God used that. He used some negative things that was said to me in the process, and some of it was very hurtful. But he used those things, you see, to nudge me, just kind of stir me, kind of like that boat, that rudder on the boat, you know, just kind of takes you right where you need to go. But you got to be listening, right? Got to be listening. Look at verse 16. We'll wrap this thing up. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I'll be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. Folks, what do you want to be said at the end of your life? You want to be known as a worrier? You want to be known as one that lived anxious all the time? Or had you rather be known as somebody that they just had a rest? They just had a rest. They had a peace about them. And you say, preacher, that's so far from where I'm at. Hey, God knows that. He knows that's your behavior, but that's not your identity. He knows you have rest. He knows you have wisdom. You have peace inside. You see, just let him say, Holy Spirit, you know, my behavior is not living out who I am. Once again, get your eyes back on Jesus. Quit trying to make that happen. Quit trying to force that to happen. Focus on Jesus and who he is in you. Paul said, you know, I don't want my life to be in vain. He said, I want my life to count. Verse 17. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering. Just like your faithful service is an offering to God, I want all of you to share that joy. It's kind of a picture of Jesus, isn't it? Jesus poured out his life. He emptied himself. That's kind of what Paul said. Verse 18 says, yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. I believe the average Christian has the mentality that living the Christian life is a burden. I used to think that. Well, I've got to just suffer for Jesus. There are times we suffer for the sake of Christ, but I'm telling you, if you think that the Christian life is about a burden of you walking around barely getting through, man, I really want to be over here drinking and partying and having a good time. I got to give all that up. You are so missing it. You're so missing it. You're in Christ. Enjoy Him. Enjoy Him. He'll help you know what them behaviors need to be out there. Do you see what I'm saying? But I was raised under the law system of the do's, and I've got to stop this and start that. I was tired. I thought, man, this Christian life is tough. I got to focus on doing this and stopping that, and I'm telling you, it'll wear you down. I love this quote here. Look at the last quote. Paul understood ministry as a get-to instead of a have-to. Which one is the law? I've got to do this for Jesus. If somebody don't do it, nobody's going to do it. How many of y'all taken positions in the church in your past because of that kind of stuff? Nobody up preacher come to you saying, listen, you're our last hope. Boy, that made you feel good, didn't it? I can't get anybody to keep that nursery and work for them youth, and they come to you saying, oh my goodness, the nominating committee. I'm so thankful I ain't got committees in this church. Y'all don't try to start any because I'm going to shut it down. Okay? Don't worry. Oh, Lordy. Somebody asked me one time, y'all got any deacons? I said, yeah, we got some deacons that are doing the work of the deacon. I can see a bunch of you guys and ladies right now doing it. And I said, but I'm not going to call them that because I don't want to earn them. We have so distorted things in the church, haven't we? When you follow the Holy Spirit's prompting, and when you allow His power to carry it out, there's nothing sweeter. There's nothing sweeter. I love doing what I'm doing. Just coming and sharing. Not feeling like I'm trying to measure up to your expectations of me. That creeps in every now and then, but I have to shut that down. I have to listen to the Spirit and do what He's leading me to do. And that's exactly what you've got to do as well. Let Him, if it's a chore to do something you're doing day in and day out, well, maybe He wants you to quit doing it. Just a thought.